Amen. Thank you so much. So good to be with you tonight, today. And I guess I'm still thawing out from below 39 degrees. Snow all these years later. I want to bring you greetings. My wife and I, just being together here already in this house, just such a tremendous presence of the Lord and desire for the things of God. I bring greetings to Bishop-elect Steve Yates. Exciting time coming. Amen. Amen. God just... Woo! Amen. The Lord stretches us for greater things. Amen. And so I bring honor to you, sir, and your wife for the work that you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are excited to see people who love God, who believe God is still God, who believe that what God says he can do and will do and he still wants to do, who are not just content with, gathering to have a nice ritual of a dead Jesus, but they have an encounter with Jesus. Let me know that your church could just be a nice gathering of people gathering to remember a dead Jesus who died nearly many years ago on a cross. And we just sort of gather to, memorialize that, gathering at reunion for a dead family member. How many know that Jesus is alive? Come on, why don't you just give him a shout of praise right now? Jesus is alive. He's alive. Amen. We don't serve a dead Jesus. We don't gather to remember somebody who died for us. He's alive. And so the gospel we preach is relevant. I listened to someone singing a song, and I don't know the full story behind the author, the writer of the song. But she said something she said, well, I'm not seeking the healing, I'm seeking the healer. And my thing is, you know what? The healer really wants to heal you. He's not just interested in you seeking him. He also wants to heal you. So it's okay for you to say, I'm seeking the healer and his healing. Come on, amen. I'm seeking the giver and his gift. He doesn't just want us just to seek, and we think it's just so religious. It's just so wonderful, Pastor. I'm not seeking anything from God. I just want God. If you knew God, you would not have that attitude. Because our God wants you to get what he provided for you. That's what I hear you singing this morning. And I want to share something with you in the next few minutes we have together here. And it's simply that everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. But I want you to know today that Jesus needs you. So everybody needs somebody, but Jesus needs you. I was thinking about that last night as the Holy Spirit just dropped that in my spirit, talking about the Lord Jesus. I think about all the people that I have needed in my life. I grew up in St. Thomas. Anyone here from Jamaica? All right. Okay. You listen. I grew up in a little town called Poorman's Corner. And just by the name of the town, you can imagine what kind of corner it was. In Yala, St. Thomas. Most people come to Jamaica. They don't come on that side of the island. The east side of Kingston. Growing up, I needed my mother. How many need, you need a mother? I needed a father. Everybody needs somebody. It doesn't matter who you are today or what you have. You needed a mother. You needed a father. I needed my uncle. Remember, my mother was working in a store in Kingston, Jamaica, and she couldn't raise me as a little boy. She had a bar and some store, so she sent me to the country to live with my grandmother. I needed my grandparents, Amos and Keturah. I needed them. I needed them in my life to guide me, and they took me to my very first school, actually. When I went back to St. Thomas, I needed my uncle because my father wasn't around, and he became a father to me. I found that in my life, Bishop, I needed people. You know, God has opened many doors for my wife and I, Betty and I. We've been in ministry for many years, traveled, served in different areas. But today, I still look back and remember my Sunday school teacher, Sister Maud, Light Brigade Barrett, Sister Farquharson. These were the people who taught me the Bible. They taught me how to memorize. Come on, amen. You know, we used to have young people group here. You have a youth group here on Friday nights. We used to, on Wednesday night, we used to come out to the youth group, and you have to have your Bible up. That when they call your name, you have to say a memory verse. I still remember my memory verse, because it's the shortest one. Jesus wept. I still remember that. But these people helped my life. I needed people in my life. You know, years later, I was growing up in that church. I had an encounter with the Lord where I went swimming one day and the water pulled me out into the Caribbean Ocean, not the side of the sea that we show you on the television when we say, come back to Jamaica. We don't show you the side I grew up on. That riptide pulled me out and pulled me under. And there was a man named Mike Czar. I couldn't tell when was the last time I've seen Mike Czar. See, sometimes God just put the right people in your life for just a moment. For just a day. For one semester of class. Mike Czar was there bobbing up and down himself, trying to keep himself from going under the wave. And he saw this little boy flying by and he held on to me. Because Mike Czar held on to me, I'm here today. I've always wanted to go to the world, but how many know I would have gone to the world in a different way? I got out of the ocean. I remember that nurse who said to me at Princess Margaret Hospital in 1981, she said, boy, you better go serve God because you were dead. I needed that nurse. All through my life, I've needed people. There's a man named Jim Henry. Jim went to bat for me. 16-year-old kid coming out of high school in Jamaica. He went to Christ for the Nations at a Bible school. And when I said I was too young, didn't have the money, he said, give him a work scholarship. Didn't know how to clean toilets, but I learned. Had a work scholarship because I needed somebody. Everybody needs somebody. I've had coaches. I've had mentors. I've had teachers. I've had professors. Hey, guess what? Have had enemies. Even your enemies play a role in your life. Come on. Has anybody ever had enemies? Haters? Listen. Everybody needs somebody. Now I've heard this song, you know, I don't need nobody else if I got Jesus. You ever heard that song? I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody. Listen, you need somebody. Everybody. And I want to say to you today, even Jesus needs somebody. Jesus would never have been born if he was not a part of the Trinity. He was not all by himself. He was a son of God. Amen? Jesus would never have been born if there was not a woman named Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. There had to be a woman. Had to be somebody. You need somebody. We all need people in our lives. But Jesus needs you. You know, the Apostle Paul, you ever heard about the Apostle Paul? Wrote most of the New Testament. Paul had started in ministry. He had a divine encounter with God. Knocked off his horse. Heard the voice of God. Went blind, some say. But Paul started his ministry. Paul was doing ministry. Doing good works. But even though Paul was doing good works, he could not fulfill his assignment with God until there was a man named Barnabas that showed up in his life. Even Paul needed a Barnabas. Come on, amen? Barnabas introduced Paul to Peter and James and to the others, and that opened up a whole new level of his ministry. Now, I know you're anointed. I know you hear from God. I know you're doing a good work. I know you think you don't need nobody, but you need a Barnabas. You need a Barnabas. No, everybody needs somebody. You know, sometimes Barnabas won't tell you everything you want. Barnabas will tell you the truth. Come on, amen? Amen. And that's one thing I've learned in life, that I need people in my life. I need to make myself vulnerable to people. You know, I remember Abraham. Abraham was comfortable living where he was living. Abraham knew the people around him. Abraham knew his community. And if you live like in my community, in Poorman's Corner, if you go there and ask for Peter, they won't know who you're talking about. I'm not going to tell you my nickname. But if you go and I tell you my, you say, ask him, it's Virgie, son. My mother's name is not even Virgie. It doesn't have a V in it. Her name is Patricia. But you know, in your community, we all have a certain name. You know what I'm talking about? We all talk a certain way. In our community, we start the sentence and cousin down the road finishes it. Huh? We know how to talk. We don't have to worry about things. We understand each other. And the Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, come out of your country. Come out of your community. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I mean, oh, Abraham needed somebody. Huh? And those people that Abraham met, he would never have met them if he did not leave Ur of the Chaldeans. He had to leave his comfort zone. The people he spoke the same language with. The people he shared the same culture with. The people who he was just, let's just let down over here. Huh? He had to go beyond that and learn how to get different people to do his hair. Huh? Move into different communities. And that's how he fulfilled what God has made him to be. We need people. One of the devil's biggest plan is for us to isolate ourselves. I want you to know that one of the devil's plan, why he wants to hurt you and I in relationships, is because he wants to cut you off from your Barnabas relationships. He wants you to break up in that relationship with that man or that woman, to be hurt in that relationship, in that romantic relationship. Why? Because he wants you to give up on being married. I'm talking to you. He wants you to give up on the idea of marriage because he don't want you to meet the right person. He don't want you to yoke up with your boys so you can fulfill God's purpose. So understand that the purpose of the pain and the purpose of the attack against you, it's really to stop you from getting where you need to go. Because if it can get you to pull down the shutters, nobody will come shopping. Huh? If it can get you to just say, you know, shop clothes. Huh? You know, I met this guy down in Kingston, and I said, listen, you need to come to church. He said, yeah, Pastor, I'm going to come to church. But as soon as I sell all these shoes and I get some money, how many of you know he never had another day of good sale? The devil kept him broke. Because he knew if he ever blessed him, he would come to church, right? You see, the enemy is not so much interested in you. He's after Jesus. Because Jesus needs you. You may say, but Jesus don't need nobody. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God Almighty. What does he need? I need him. I need healing. I need provision. I need help. But I'm here to tell you that the very reason you were born in this century is because Jesus needed you in this century. You may think that it is because you need something. No, my friend, it's because God needed you. You've been praying for your healing so that you can have legs. It's not just you can have legs. It's so that Jesus can work in your body. So that your body can bring him glory. You may say, oh, I need healing. Yes, it's not just that you need healing, my friend. It's because your body is a temple of the Lord. And in order for your body to do what God created you to do, you need that body to be healed. Jesus needs you. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 13, chapter 12. It's a parable about a man who planted a vineyard. The Bible said he set up a hedge in verse 1. He dug a place for the vine or for the wine vat, and he built a tower. And it says something interesting. He leased it to vine dressers and went away into a far country. That picture, I'm just going to go verse by verse with this with you quickly. This is really a picture, my friend, of creation. When God created man, Adam, placed him in the garden, God created a perfect environment we call Eden. The Bible called it Eden. Everything provided for man. Do you agree with that? You know, we traveled the last several weeks. Betty and I have been traveling to different places. Went all the way over into Arizona. I don't know how anyone live in Arizona. God created it though. And people have colonized it. They have been able to have their homes and the universities. And they live wonderfully. Come on, amen? It's an amazing thing. God has created the earth for man to dominate and rule for his glory. That's what the story is here about. And it says in verse 2, now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. But a story happened. This is all of the Old Testament right here from verse 3 onward. They took him, beat him, sent him away empty-handed. Verse 4, again he sent another servant. What happened? They throw stones at him, wounded him, and in the head, and what happened? Sent him away, shamefully treated. Not only that, this is all through the Old Testament. Think about Jeremiah. Think about Ezekiel. Think about Micah. Think about all the prophets, all that God was doing to the children of Israel. What was he doing? He was sending servants to the earth. After Adam and Eve sinned, when God came in the cool of the day, remember that? And they had turned their back and they had pledged their allegiance to Satan. And they had given him authority in the earth. And what happened? Eden was shut down. Man was kicked out of the garden. And ever since man was kicked out of the garden, God, the vintage time has been put on hold. No more wine being served. God went into a period of trying to get his property back. Trying to restore what was lost by the first Adam. That's why Jeremiah came. All the prophets. That's why Israel came together. He called them a nation of priests. Israel was called the church in the wilderness. Mordecai, all of them. And the Bible says in verse 6, therefore, still having one son. Everybody say one son. His beloved. He also sent him to them saying, they will respect my son. But did they? Did they? But those vine dressers, who are the vine dressers? Vine dressers are human beings. We who live on the earth. We are the ones that the earth was created and assigned by God to take care and bring forth glory out of the earth. Do you agree with that? They said, this is the heir. Verse 7. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So, they took Jesus, they killed him, cast him out of the vineyard. They took Jesus, they killed him, they cast him out of the vineyard. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of us as Christians stop. We are still remembering the bleeding, bloody, wounded, shamed, you know, humiliated Jesus hanging on the cross. That he's standing on the mountain and the disciple, he went up. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they stood there and they were watching him. Acts chapter 1 rather, they saw him going up. A lot of Christendom today is really just on the mountaintop watching Jesus go up, waiting for him to come back down. And the attitude is that we have lost the inheritance and we will not get it back until Jesus returns. Now, if that's your belief as a Christian, I want to say to you, come up higher. Because in truth and in fact, my friend, there's another verse here which we need to read. Jesus was killed. Jesus was wounded. Jesus was nailed on the cross. Jesus was humiliated. But my friend, nobody did that to him. He did it for us. That was all a part of the plan. Look at the rest of this. He says, after did all of that, they cast him out of the vineyard. Verse 9 says, therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, brothers and sisters, it says here that the Lord will come and he will judge the vine dressers. I'm here to tell you, my friend, the judgment of God has come upon all sin, all unrighteousness, everything that is antichrist. He is judging it now. How is he judging it? Matthew 24, verse 14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in every nation as a witness. So it is through the lives of witnesses that we go forth and we bring judgment against the intruders, against the illegal forces that is seeking to hold on to an inheritance which no longer belongs to them. See, we're not waiting to get the inheritance. In fact, the rest of this says, and he will give the vineyard to others. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, we are the others. Come on, say, we are the others. This vineyard has been given to us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and all who is in it. Yes, people are all mad and confused and sad about life today and think, oh, the world is getting worse and worse. Have you read Psalm 2? Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? In other words, that's almost 800 BC when that was written. The nations have been raging a long time. The people have been imagining a vain thing a long time. The rulers of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed a long time. They've been saying for a long time, let us break their bonds from us. We want to be free from the church a long time. But the Bible says in Psalm 2, the Lord sits in heaven and he laughs. God's been laughing about the problems of earth a long time. The issue is, God is looking for witnesses. Now, many times when I talk, and when we talk about witness, we think only about somebody going up to someone and saying, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want to lead you to Christ. But I want you to think about witness in this regard. Just a few days ago in Montego Bay, we have a real crime problem happening in our city. One of our churches right in the middle of Montego Bay was broken into in the middle of the day. They took a laptop, put a knife to one of the members' neck, took a laptop, took a phone, went through the door. Someone identified them, called the police. The police came, caught them. But lo and behold, a great injustice was served. Because this is where many of our churches are now in Jamaica because of this increase in crime over the last several years. A spirit of fear came upon them. And they did not press charges. The church now, the leaders were afraid because they weren't sure if the police was corrupt or if the other gang members would see them. You see what happened? So they never were able to get back the laptop, to get back the phone because of the spirit of fear. See, when you are a witness, you say, I witness this injustice. And I believe that justice ought to be served. And justice means everything that was lost or stolen must come back. Everything that was illegitimately stolen, ripped off, and lost by the first Adam was restored by the second Adam. You have a right. Put somebody there and say, you have a right. You have a right. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to mourn for it. You don't have to groan for it. It's your right. We are the others. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we are the others. Oh, when you walk in your city, we are the others. When you walk downtown, we are the others. When you, come on somebody, we are the others. We are of the second Adam. We are of the second Adam. In fact, the last Adam, no more coming. And he has already paid the price. In Isaiah 53, they said, oh, they thought he was beaten by God. No, he was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of the Lord was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Oh, the scripture asks in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, let's turn there quickly. I want you to see that. Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 10. He says, who is going to declare his generation? I'm asking you, young man. I'm asking you, young lady. I'm asking you today. Who is going to declare Jesus' generation? Who is going to stand up for Jesus in this generation? Who here is going to be a witness for Jesus? Hallelujah. Who here will stand up? I want everything that Jesus paid for. How many of you watched the movie, The Passion of Christ? Oh, he has shed too much blood. He has been beaten. He has been wounded for you and I to just allow the vineyard to go away like that. We are the others. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. There's something burning in my spirit, Bishop. For you. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, everybody looking for justice. Come on. Everybody want justice. I'm here to say justice for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Justice for Jesus. It's time for justice for Jesus. What about the blood he shed? What about the wounds he suffered? What about the price he paid? Huh? What about the humiliation that he went through? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about the innocent Son of God. John saw the vision in Revelation 5, and John says the book was sealed. Nobody had authority to open the book. But it said there was a lamb. There was a lamb. I want justice for that lamb. I want my life to be lived for his glory. I want my money to be spent for his honor. I want my reputation to be staked to his reputation. There ain't nobody else. Listen, you can cheer for your college team. You can cheer for your high school team. You can have your favorite quarterback in high school that you follow all the way to NFL. I'm telling you, my friend, there's nobody worth cheering for, backing, standing up. Come on, stand up for a minute and give him praise. Come on, give him praise in this place. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. I am one of those seed. I am one of the seed of Jesus. He shall prolong his days. They thought they stopped him, but I'm here. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm here. He is with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. Come on, say, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. And it says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Guess what? We are the body of Christ. He's the head. We are the hands. We are the feet. And it says, the pleasure of the Lord is going to prosper in Frontier Church. You're going to take care of God's pleasure. Huh? You're going to take that ball and you're going to run it all the way home. All the way home, baby. All the way home. You're going to take that ball and run it all the way down. Pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, Jesus is going to see you working. And he's going to be satisfied. In every generation, he is going to watch over his work. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Many. Many are going to be snatched out of the bondage of the devil and brought into the kingdom. And the owner, the king, the creator is going to occupy more. Occupy, occupy until we see him coming. Glory to God. He says, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Therefore, sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Because you're going to bring forth children. This Jesus that we serve, friends, is a revolutionary. You are a revolutionary. You are with Jesus. So when I pray for the sick, I'm not just praying just for that person to be healed. I'm commanding that body to obey the authority of the Creator and get back in order so that that body can carry out the work of the Lord. Are you with me? So you're praying for someone that have an alcoholic problem or any kind of a problem in life. You need to go as a witness to say to that problem, Jesus has already dealt with you. And that's why Jesus would come. He says, I rebuke you. Jesus says, we cast out the enemy with the finger of God. So you approach sickness. You approach anything the enemy throws at you with authority. You come with the authority of the second Adam. And you speak against it. Open your mouth and speak against it. The Lord said, say to the mountain, oh God, I ask you to move the mountain. No. He said, say to the mountain, be thou removed. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Come on, stand to your feet for me. Come on, lift your hands in the place. Hallelujah. Rebo Sakari and de Sheri and Aramaka. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you have all authority. Earlier we sang the song that have authority above all darkness. He's got great power. So when you come as a witness, you're enforcing that. See that? You come in and said, listen, I plead the blood. And when you plead the blood, you're saying Jesus has already settled it. This ain't right. It needs to be changed. This is not what the Father ordered. He had already fixed this. So you come as a witness and says, I want justice to come here. Is anybody going through something this morning? You want justice. You want the justice of God. Come on, how many of you need the justice? Come on, amen. See, many of us are afraid of God's justice. But I want to tell you, because of the blood of Jesus. Remember when Job was there, you know, and the Bible says in Job that the sons of God came and the devil came before God and accused Job. And the devil had to admit that God had a hedge of protection around him. Some of you are afraid that God's going to pull that hedge around you. I'm telling you, God loves you. He'll never pull down that hedge of protection around you. And I'm telling you, if the devil ever walks into God's court, all Jesus has got to do is point to his blood. All you've got to say is, I plead the blood. Because the blood shuts him up. It means now we are living not in the power of the first Adam. We are living in the power of the last Adam, of Jesus. Holy Father, glorify your name in us, among us here. Holy Father. Your people here, Father, desire to be and to enter in to even more and to lay hold of all that you have for them. I ask you, Lord, work mightily in them by the power of your Spirit. Reveal to them the strategies and the directions you have for them. Even now. Even now. Let your glorious justice, your mighty angels, your Holy Spirit move across this congregation. And everything that exalts itself against you, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of fear, every spirit of rejection, every spirit of lie and deception, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Every spirit of rebellion, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go from these lives. If you have sickness in any part of your body, come on, put your hands on it right now. If you have an ear that's deaf, you have eyes that's black, come on, your back. I command bodies be healed. I command vertebrae. I command ears open. Eyes open for the glory of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I command knees to be healed. Kneecap to be restored. It is the right of Jesus that these bodies be made whole. It is the right of Jesus that these bodies be made whole. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Come on, receive it. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Those of you who've been dealing with tormenting thoughts, put your hands on your head right now. I rebuke that spirit of torment in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of unforgiveness over your life. The tormenting spirit. Go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Everybody needs somebody. Jesus needs you, and he needs you firing on all cylinders. Jesus needs you. He needs you because it's his vineyard. This is my Father's world. I'm tired of sitting back and allowing the ungodly and the wicked to run over us and run over our world and to tell us we need to sit back and wait for the rapture. Give me a break. Not when my Jesus came and died. I went back to Jamaica. I saw these young men, 25 years old, blood running out of his mouth. I'm like, what's going on? So the enemy just came. These beautiful men and women, made by God for a glorious purpose. So I'm supposed to sit back. You tell me that I'm supposed to go to church and have a great service, have a nice session, and have a university and all those things, and allow the devil to run rapture over my world, over my Father's world. And we say, well, it's the second coming. It's the end of the world. Can I tell you something? It's been the end of the world ever since Jesus left. We are the others. And we at the church, we better get back to where we belong. Walking the block. Taking back the city. Taking back the city. If you're not willing to die for something, you're not really ready to live. Are you willing to die for this Jesus? Are you willing to put your chest on the line for this Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is worth that amount of commitment? That's what we're dealing with. We have the ungodly that is sold out and lit. Huh? And we have Christians that sort of, we need another worship music. No, not here. We're on the frontier line. I love that. We're on the frontier. I wonder if there's somebody here today. Say, Pastor, I want to stand with Jesus.